Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
How was your week, Kev? Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's going good. How are you doing? It's been hot. So we've been just inside. Like, our poor child is running, going crazy. He wants to get out. But it's just been too hot to do anything.
The heat is on in Saigon. and by Saigon, we mean New York City.
Oh, my God. I had all of those lyrics memorized to the first CD. I never listened to the second CD as much, but the first CD, boy. Loved that, Miss Saigon.
You know, I kind of miss the days of the double CD days, because right? There was always a preference. You always had a favorite
CD. Always
hear
one CD better than the other. There was always a preferred disc. Always.
Did I ever tell you my falsettos double CD story?
No, please do. This is okay. This is what I'm here for in this podcast, Rob, or these
okay.
conversations.
So if you remember, folks, the act one was on one CD and act two was on another CD, right? And I remember that I had the CD when I got the set, Falsetto Land, which was act two, totally fine. But they put the wrong CD in act one, and it was something like, you know, Boopa Boopa Sings Jazz or whatever it
no
was.
No way.
It was totally a mistake by the company. Oops. So, but I never bought a new one because I spent my allowance money on it. And I was like, I have to save up. So I know all of act two of Falsettos.
Like that.
I mean, even those like weird songs, I'm off book.
Interstitial. So, love it.
Oh, interstitial. Absolutely. I can do all of Everyone Hates His Parents. I can do Unlikely Lovers, all four parts. Don't worry, I'm off book.
But Four Jews in a Room Bitching, not so much.
No, I don't know that one. I don't know that one. I don't know The Chess Game. I don't even know if Marvin's Giddy Seizures is in Trousers or if it's in March of the Falsettos. So when I saw March of the Falsettos on Broadway, when I saw Falsettos on Broadway, act one, I was so pleasantly surprised by. I was like, oh my gosh, so this is what happens.
The characters are in that one too, yeah.
I was like, oh wow. And then I was like, where are the lesbians from Next Door? And I'm like, oh, they wait for
nope.
act two.
No. They're
like, fine.
Yet.
they're fine. Hey, speaking of The Heat Is On in Saigon, I'm excited because on Monday, our episode with Hinton Battle is going to be dropped. Three-time Tony Award winner, Hinton Battle.
It actually has affected my my favorite thing this week, so we'll get to that in a
what?
Minute.
Oh my gosh! And I hope you all enjoyed our time with Peter and Josh on this week's episode.
Great stories we haven't heard before.
Has anyone guessed yet who the diva is that Peter's describing? Remember the one where he was like, he asked her a question and she was like, why would you ask that? Why would you ask me such a stupid question?
Rude.
Yeah, and then the publicist was. Remember, he told the publicist, he's like, yeah, you know, you're not going to like this woman, and if you're still working for her in a month, like, I'll give you money. And the woman called back like a month later and was like, yeah, I quit. I couldn't take her. Yep. She was crazy. But has anyone guessed who that is yet? Has anyone guessed who that is? You have to, you know, slide into our DMs and give us some names, and we will neither confirm or deny, but we will maybe give you some clues.
We might like it, thumbs up.
We might like it, thumbs up. You know, or give you that little heart thing. I have to do a little shout out. A wonderful listener, Lauren Spinelli, sent me a book. He sent me a book. Did I tell you that, Kevin?
Larry's great. Yeah.
It came yesterday. Well, he said, I know he said he's given you a few things as well.
Oh, right? Yes.
Records and stuff.
Well, I remember last episode, I talked, or maybe two episodes ago, I talked about the Broadway West End book he had sent me.
Yeah, so
I typed a letter in it. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah, so I know very little about, you know, the London's West End and stuff like that. And so I mentioned that, and he sent me an autographed copy, by the way, of Adrian Wright's book, A Tanner's Worth of Tune, Rediscovering.
That's the same author of the one that I have, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rediscovering the Post-War British Musical. So I'm excited to jump into that.
Report back to us when you've devoured that.
I will.
Everybody can learn something new as well, Rob.
Yes, Spitzbalt, Governor. Spitzbalt. That's all I know. And I'll spell favorite with a U.
Spend. Love from Judy. I'm trying to think of all the British shows.
You know, all these shows. I don't know any of
only
them.
Only a couple of them. Only a couple.
What is spend? Does anyone even know what that is?
15, 16 years ago.
Spend.
I forget. I remember listening to it a lot. And then also Cameron McIntosh, remember he brought the guys that wrote Zombie Prom? Remember Zombie Prom?
Yeah.
And so he brought those American writers, Dana Rowe and someone, I forget the other guy's name. Oh, I can't believe I can't remember. But Cameron brought them over and to London, right? And then they wrote The Fix, The Witches of Eastwick.
The Fix, yes.
Right. Remember that? There was like a whole bunch of musicals but those guys were from here. And they never had like a big Broadway show, which is interesting.
Oh, I love that.
They did do a short film of Zombie Prom that you can watch. Because I always liked the musical Zombie Prom. I think it's actually really catchy, really fun little show. That is not
my favorite. I would like to see it, please.
All righty.
Okay.
Great, that was fun.
That's all I got. Oh, I would love to see it, please. Hello, Governor.
How's right, all the cliches. That's
how's my,
wonderful.
How's my dialect work?
As we go dark in all of UK.
Well, yeah, so the one person listening has got enough. Hey. Sure. It'll be Sir Tim Rice when he comes on the show.
That's right.
I thought my accent was good, but okay.
I thought it's lovely. You should keep it.
No, it's okay. I'll take notes.
Add it to the repertoire.
I'll take notes.
Maybe you got a favorite thing for me today.
Boy, do I ever. My favorite thing is a documentary that is now available for streaming on Broadway HD, or you can also get it on Vimeo. And it is a documentary I had no idea was even around. And our great listener, Vinnie Murphy from Buffalo, who, once again, just a reminder, folks, let the whole world know that Kevin David Thomas had once starred in a YouTube series.
Oh my God.
So he...
Before that, tune into last week's episode.
So he enlightened me and was like, hey, there's this amazing documentary that just came out and you should watch it. It is called Repeat Attenders. And it is a documentary about folks who see musicals more than once, more than twice, and maybe in some people's cases, more than 700 times.
This is like so right up your alley. I mean, I cannot even believe how right up your...
It took a long time. It's 6 years in the making, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, you'll see footage, and the footage is really incredible, but it's a lot of older stuff. It's a lot of like older footage and stuff like that. A lot of these shows have closed, but it doesn't care how long it got there. It got there, and it looks fantastic, right? I'm going to warn you, folks, it is going to be something that at some points you're going to be on the floor laughing, because I watched it with a group of friends. We did a quarantine screening. Oh. And some of it were, you're absolutely on the floor laughing about like how obsessed some people are. I mean, one guy, God bless him, has like tattoos of Lin-Manuel Miranda and, tattoos of the Lacage logo. And you're like, good for you. Like, you are like a star. And then there's a woman who's very obsessed with Starlight Express, and she breaks her heart. She cosplays. I didn't realize how big Starlight Express was in Germany.
Oh, I was going to say, it's a very lonely cosplay party, but I guess if it's in
Germany. Oh, no, my friend. Wait till you see this. There's a woman who lives in San Diego who's obsessed with Cats, the musical Cats, and does photo shoots of herself dressed as the cat. Her husband declines to appear in the interview. And I'm like, oh, poor thing. Patty and Emily pop up in it. Your former co-stars, Patty and Emily, pop up do an interview at Sardi's. So anyway, folks,
what show had they seen obsessively? Cinderella?
What they're I'm surprised you weren't in the clip.
Sorry, I'm working back.
What they're talking about is like the line between fandom and like when does it get creepiness? Obsessive?
Yeah.
Yeah, fandom and when does it get creepy?
They're like the perfect people to talk to about that, actually. So
they come off and it very, I mean, very well. They come off as you know, and then I mean, you're going to see some people like one woman has seen Les Mis so many times and like waits by the stage door.
We used to know those people, Rob. There used to be websites when I was in Les Mis.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll never forget when I joined the national tour, a woman wrote to me and was like, "Welcome to the tour. You're the you know, so and so person to play Babe." And she knew all about me and all the people that had played the part before. It was crazy. And you would meet these people at the stage door that had numbered the shows they'd seen. They knew they'd cataloged it, they recorded it. Sorry, please continue. I had no idea that world existed.
I remember like the first like professional show I worked on in New York. Like I saw some of those individuals, and that was like my first exposure to, you know, people that like are super fans and they collect everything and they feel, you know. And then there's a question of like, I'm trying to think of a polite way of saying this. At what point does it cross a line? And it's like, you know, this is a little bit unhealthy. Like you can appreciate someone's work, and you know, maybe get them something to like say, "Hey, thank you so much for all the great work that you do." Right. But I don't know if like I've ever felt that way. I don't think I've ever been like a super fan where I felt like I couldn't really tell the difference between my admiration for you, but also your own personal boundaries.
Right. Right.
Have you, besides Cass Morgan? I don't mean to touch a nerve. Maybe you were in this film and you were cut out. But.
Oh my God. No, when I was younger in college, like I certainly was obsessed with Sarah Brightman, and I waited at the stage door to see her and to say hi. And I remember being nervous, and I remember being there was eight people waiting for her. So it wasn't like, you know.
But Madonna. After the show, right?
Yeah. After the show, I was so excited, but it wasn't like I was then following her bus to the, you know, the hotel, and then, you know, I knew the boundaries, you know. I'm trying to think if I've ever been obsessed with a show like that. I don't know that.
Well, what I'm so curious. I mean, some of these people, like there's one guy in here who's seen Rent. Oh my God, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. He's so odd in this movie. He talks about like seeing Rent over 1,000 times, but like sleeping outside and letting girls sleep with him in his sleeping bag. And, like just, I will be honest with you. There's a couple of moments in the movie where you're like, why are we giving these people time? Like there's him and there's a gentleman who was obsessed with Debbie Gibson.
Oh,
from, and like was in jail for a few months because of his obsession with Debbie Gibson.
Oh no,
like,
I've heard of him.
I will be honest with you. My friends that were sitting there, like, why? At points, the movie does get uncomfortable because you're like, why? Why are you giving people? I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. I can't figure out yet if the movie is like. I think the movie is trying to show some of them in a sympathetic light, and I think some of them they come off as you're supposed to laugh at them. As opposed to like celebrating their fandom. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fascinating movie, especially in this day and age when social media makes it feel even more like you know these people. I'm making this up, but if Jay Armstrong Johnson likes your photo on Instagram, that doesn't mean that you guys are besties.
Not at all, but yes, totally.
A hard line, I think, for some people.
Right, because it's all very blurry now. You get to know them a little more. Like, I love following Leslie Jordan because all these movie stars, like, are having conversations in his feed, you know, but they're not, I'm not a part of that. But you can see how the blind can be very easily.
Yeah, right? So anyway, folks, it's a fascinating film. It's my favorite thing for this week. It's called Repeat Attenders. You're going to see, God bless, the Starlight Express woman makes me so happy.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think John Mulaney or Bill Hader or Fred Armisen listen to this podcast. But if you do, folks, Documentary Now needs to do Repeat Attenders. Adi Bryant needs to be the Starlight Express woman from Germany. Kate McKinnon needs to be the Cats lady. Yes. Fred Armisen, there's a lot of roles in here that you can play. So my question, though, for you, Kevin, is these people have seen shows like thousands and thousands of times. What show do you think you have seen the most?
Probably Rent. Like a production?
Yeah, production, not like, yeah.
Show? Because I've seen Gypsy probably more than any show ever because of all the productions. But as far as a single production, I'm going to say Rent on Broadway, I think, was probably the show that I saw that I paid money for that I wasn't attached to because I was an understudy or something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I would, yeah. So I think Rent, I saw that probably close to 10 times on the original Broadway production on it because it was still new to New York-ish when I came in 2002. So it was like 5 years old. And I saw it like every year for a while. I loved it. What about you? What's a show that you saw the most?
I'm sort of the same way with you. Like if non-professional productions, the show I've seen the most is Into the Woods.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Hmm.
Like when I was growing up, like every community theater did it, every high school did it, every regional theater did it. I've seen more productions of that fucking show.
Wow. Than,
like, then you can, you know, care to get their giants in the sky. I'll go hang out with them because maybe they're watching another show. But no, you get up on the cloud.
A shorter show, maybe.
maybe they're watching a shorter show. And of course, I was at also places where, like, because Act Two is kind of controversial. You know,
yes,
some places only just did Act One.
Keep it happy.
Keep it light. Keep it gay.
Happily ever so after. That's life.
Into the Woods was a big one for me. Gypsy, that surprises me that you saw Love Gypsy. Who's your favorite Mama Rose?
Oh my God. Well, other than Tova Feldshoe, obviously,
For me.
No, I that I've seen, you know, I saw actually Pamela Myers do it.
Yeah. From Company.
Cincinnati Playhouse. Yeah. She was really dynamic in the part. She was really, really good.
She was great.
Yeah. I liked her, you know, and then I did it in Cleveland and Donna McKechnie was our Mama Rose.
Wow.
And it was really, you know, we didn't talk about it with her cause it was not a great time in her life, I guess. And she needed like a big part. This is 2001. I don't know if I should say it, but she, you know, friends came to see her in dress rehearsal and I don't know if they said anything or whatever, but then she didn't go on. She was not well to go on for the first couple previews. So the understudy who was married to the artistic director had to go on with script in hand. This is at Great Lakes Theater Festival.
Wow.
Because we all, as students, were all understudies to all the productions at Cleveland Playhouse and Great Lakes Theater Festival, the two equity houses.
Wow.
Wild. And of course, Don McKechnie was legendary. And so she came to our school and told us all about the last day with Fosse and, you know, what that was like. Yeah.
Crazy. Wow. I never knew
that. I just remembered all that. I totally forgot.
Who did you understudy?
Pam Myers. I was agreeing. You should see me. No, but we were like understudy newsboys, you know, and no one went on. I think the only show I went on for was a sideshow. I went on for like the geek and our cast had Hunter Bell, you know, of title of show fame.
Yeah.
He was the buddy in that production. Anyway, this has evolved into Kevin's.
I like it. You see,
wait, how did that woman the trivia who was, I forget what their name was because it was a made up name, but they knew that I was in the Yellow Brick Road in The Wizard of Oz. They wrote that in the chat.
You've talked about it on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, that's a good memory. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you're, so Mama Rose, your favorite
Mama Rose, yeah.
Myers.
And I just, it was just a production that was done a lot growing up, I think, you know, and we,
mine,
I just, whatever.
Eileen Graff.
Ooh,
I saw Eileen Graff do it in L.A. I saw Eileen Graff do it in L.A. I
thought you might say Joyce DeWitt, but that's okay.
I have not seen Joyce DeWitt do a production of Gypsy, and I am hoping that when we come back, I will.
Algonquit will do it, definitely. Algonquit.
And when they make Repeat Attenders 2, I'll be in that. Sorry, Kev. So what's your favorite thing? What's your favorite
thing? My favorite thing. So my favorite thing is actually, I found it, you know, reminded of it because of our interview with Hinton and doing a little research, Hinton Battle, that is. And it's a cast recording of a show he's in. And it's just, we talked about this show and how Hinton had the option, the rights for a while. And it's, I don't think the show will ever get done again in the incarnation that it was done in 1983, but the cast recording is really something wonderful and worth a listen to, and the score is fun, and Hinton's performance in it is amazing. And this is, of course, The Tap Dance Kid. That is what I celebrate today, is The Tap Dance Kid, the cast recording of this, which I'm so glad it was captured. This is sort of a rare occurrence of us sort of tying a My Favorite Thing in with our interview that was released on Monday, because if you listen to this, it'll definitely give some context, a lot of the stories that Hinton talked about, especially, you know, talking about the marathon that it was to do like the big Fabulous Feat number. And it's just really a really awesome performances that are captured on there. Of course, on the cast recording, you've got Hinton, you've got the great actor Samuel E. Wright, who I guess if you have kids, you'll know him because he's the voice of Sebastian in the Little Mermaid movie. You've also got a very young Alfonso Ribeiro, if you are a, what's that show that
Carlton,
my wife loves?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say for my America's Funniest Home Videos, my wife's favorite TV show.
He hosts that too. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, but he was a dancer, and of course, he famously, Savion Glover, the great choreographer and dancer, took over the role of the Tap Dance Kid. This is a musical that was basically about a son who wants to be a dancer, and that this is very much in opposition to his father's wishes and sort of the conflict that arises because of that. You've got a lot of great singing from kids in this. You've got some great, the score is by Henry Krieger, who gave us Dreamgirls and Sideshow, of course. Robert Lorick did the lyrics. Charles Blackwell did the book. It's based on a book called Nobody's Family is Going to Change by Louise Fitzhugh, who wrote Harriet the Spy and stuff like that. It ran for a very long time. I mean, it ran over almost 670 performances.
That's
almost
a long time.
It's a very long time. It started at the Broadhurst Theater, and then it closed, and when shows did this still, and then it moved over to the huge Minskoff Theater, and where it played for years. So it really was a big hit show and introduced, you know, the careers to a lot of people. And so I my favorite thing is the score, and just checking out some of these songs, and really it is of its era, definitely. And Hinton talked about how they would have to change certain things, you know, to make this production happen today. But until then, I think it's really worth listening to The Tap Dance Kid and checking out the hard work that Hinton Battle did, among everyone else on this recording. But check it out.
I absolutely love this show. I'm so happy you brought it up. And there's that fabulous Tony clip.
Oh my gosh, you gotta watch that.
With Hinton. With Hinton.
Yes. Yes, legendary.
I am, Kevin, I am so happy that you picked that. That makes me so, so happy.
Oh, good.
Now I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna go listen to it.
I know, right? It's great.
And I'm gonna try to tap dance.
I would like a video of that. Thank you very much.
Of course. It will be featured in Repeat Attenders 2, because it'll be me tap dancing to get Joyce DeWitt's attention as she's going into the Main State Music Theater stage door to do Mama Rose and Gypsy in rep with Mrs. Todd and Dale and Drowsy Chaperone.
Oh my gosh, that's the perfect place that there. Sally Struthers is actually down the street. She's doing a show. She's doing always Patsy Cline. Once again, always Patsy Cline.
Always Patsy Cline. Never has a title been more appropriate than in that moment. Always Patsy Cline. Sometimes she does Roz, though, in 9 to 5 when she wants a break.
That's right. She's added that to the repertory.
Have you ever seen, I know you have to go, but I'm going to ask you very quickly. Have you seen her power walking video?
What?
Okay. So Sally Struthers has a power walking video.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so really quickly, I'll send you the link, folks. We'll post it. So remember how like every celebrity wanted to do like a workout video in the 80s? Because right. Jane Fonda, right, obviously.
Even Angela Lansbury had her wellness video where she's like touching herself.
Lansbury, I know exactly what's going on in that bathtub. Because she's exactly like, she's making the bathtub, about her hands disappear. And she's like, after such an age. When and murder, she wrote, the mystery of the multiple orgasm. I know who did it. My index finger.
Oh my gosh, get on with it.
Which will be played in this performance by Pat McCormick. I'm so sorry. Continuing on.
Just couldn't stop. You just had to keep going.
I apologize. I'm sorry to Miss Lansbury.
Oh my
God. So there was a whole big like
Sally Struthers
workout video thing, but Sally Struthers did a power walking video where she teaches you how to power walk, and the guy she's power walking with, Kevin, I have never seen shorter shorts in my life. And this man's like, you know, is just like on display and prominent, and there's a couple of times where he turns very fast, and I'm like, "You're gonna hit Sally."
Watch it, Sally.
She's gonna take an eye out. So anyway, I'll post that for everybody. But Sally Struthers' power walking video, and it's her walking between Algonquin and North Shore because she has to go and play Mother Burnside in Maine,
like Elaine Stritch didn't call me
like
Madam,
just like Elaine Stritch called me Madam
Joey,
but instead of you know a fancy train, it's you know the Megabus. So amazing. We'll see. God. All right. So repeat attendance.
Yes. And the tap dance kid, check it out.
Start end with the tap dance kid. Cause it'll put you in a much better mood after watching repeat attenders. You might recognize yourself.
Way to sell it.
Well, you might recognize yourself on screen is what I'm saying.
Yes,
it is. It is right up my alley.
Those Heathers fans.
You know, I think that's just how the old documentary is. I don't see a lot of Heathers fans in there. And we know there was no Broadway con footage, which was fine because there was me not playing cosplaying in Tenderloin, which you know is a huge thing that I like to do in Broadway Con each year. There's 90 million Jennas.
Yes, Karen Morrow in the Grass Harp. It was very popular.
You might have 90 million Jennas, but there will only be one Buddy Hackett and I Had a Ball, and that will be and that will be me. Thank you. I would like to follow Anita around, Anita Gillette, dressed as a Secret Service member.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
That's my Broadway cosplay. All right.
You're Mr. B, you know, and like you're
Mr.
just
Mr. B. That's me. Irving B. Oh, Berlin. Gosh. All right. Till next guys. Time.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.